Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And then over in Colossians chapter 3, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him."
Good evening. So this guest preacher came to the congregation to preach that night, and he took his watch and he set it down in front of him on the lectern. And the young boy saw that and said, "Dad, what does that mean?" And the dad said, "Absolutely nothing." So true. So my title for tonight is Small Word, Big Results. It's a very simple message tonight, which I have, but when applied, it makes a world of difference. The practice of this word opens up infinite possibilities. So what is the word? Gratitude. Now, the first thing you're thinking is, well, that's not a small word. That's 3 syllables. But it's a simple word, but in it encapsulates so much that we're going to look at this tonight. Gratitude. It's defined as the quality of being thankful and the readiness to show appreciation. The quality of being thankful and readiness to show appreciation. If we have a heart of gratitude toward God for his innumerable blessings, then our hearts and minds will brim over with gratefulness and thankfulness. And this leads to contentment and joy in life and in faith. Then we are spiritually open to the everyday miracles that happen before us. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights." Rhonda just read Colossians. I want to look at that again. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Gratitude, to be grateful, to be thankful, a heart brimming over with joy, is the attitude that we as Christians should have and should live. So we're called by, in the word of Colossians, to a state of peace and thankfulness. We think of the glass half empty, half full, but as Christians, the glass is brimming over. We just don't realize it or see it sometimes in the moment. And this is the wisdom of God given to us to show us how to see through a different lens, the lens that he brings. I'm going to read from Luke 12. I have a verse here I want us to look at. Luke 12:24. "Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds?" Well, the last 5 years since Rhonda and I and family moved here from Ontario, we've been renting a little apartment in the country. It's a hobby ranch, 45 acres. So we have a pair of ravens there. We actually have named them Laurel and Hardy. And Laurel and Hardy, we've observed them over the years. Every spring they have one or two newborns. They're training them, teaching them up in the way they should go. And one of their perches is actually on the barn. They don't get in the barn, but they're on the barn at the top, looking over things, and oftentimes waiting for the compost, which we bring out to them so that they can just enjoy the feed of the day. But these ravens, as the Lord says, don't worry. They just do what they're called to do. And every year the Lord brings the newborns to them and provides for them, and the young'uns are trained, and it's just amazing to watch. Same as further down, verse 27, consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these, the lilies. I have a short reading on this one. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. And this is a poem. They do not toil, content with their allotted task. They do but grow. They do not ask a richer lot, a higher sphere, but in their loveliness appear and grow and smile and do their best. And unto God they lead the rest. I think that's good advice. This time of year, I'm sure we all admire the wildflowers that we see. The wild rose, geranium, prairie crocus, the avens, the cinquefoil, columbines, orchids, butterbeans, mountain vetch. I'm sure you'd think of many more. We love to see those flowers and those lilies. And I am waiting for the orange lilies if they'll appear this year. And so these are examples of the Lord's provision to us that should admonish and instruct us to live lives of contentment. Yet if we look around us and in us, there is worry and complaining and jealousy and envy. Rather than receiving and accepting the grace given to us, life itself and the blessings that come with it, and turning to God, who is the giver of all these gifts, people either feel lesser or entitled, deserving of things, and they grab after it. Well, what is entitlement? It's defined as the belief that you are inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment, having made no effort to earn it. Something doesn't seem right about that, entitlement. But also, it's not right to feel lesser either. The Lord has provided for us because He loves us. But because of the day we live in, the influence of social media, especially for young people, you see people who are living their best life. Supposedly, that's a new phrase. There's wealth in super yachts and excess and material gain. There's all about having and consuming and pleasure and more and gimme, gimme. But it's almost laughable if it wasn't so sad that people look for completion of life in these material things. We need to grow beyond that if we can. Now, historically, since the fall, yes, there has been more war than peace. And yes, there has been more sickness than wellness. And we do live with that every day, and some of us within us. But we persevere in faith. Think of the pioneer generations, how hard they worked to settle the land and to provide for their families. And they were successful, the hardest working generations ever. Think of those who served in World War II. And my father was one of them. He was a veteran, and he came back. Otherwise, my history and the history of the progeny of the family would have been totally changed. All that history would have changed. And then the baby boomer generation. After the war ended in 45, from 46 to 64, we call the baby boomer generation. That's many of us. And in the first, in the 50s to the mid-60s, it was a time of peace and plenty, at least in North America, not so much in Europe. They were still recovering from the war. But from 50 to 65 were what I'd call the peak years in many ways. But what happened through the years of plenty was the baby boomers started to reject traditional values. From the 65 on, there was a lot of upheaval for many reasons, of course, but there was a rejection of what I call the traditional values, the Western civilization that was handed down to us. And then came the lack of contentment. Shakespeare said, all comparisons are odious. They stink. We're not to live a life of comparisons, as we've even seen in the hymnal tonight. I have another poem for you tonight. I don't know how that developed. Hopefully it'll show up on my phone. It's a famous poem called Desiderata, written by Max Lehrer, an American poet, in 1927. Now, he's not quite spot on with our worldview through the lens of Christ, but he's very close and he says a lot here that I think you'll like. Go placidly amid the noise and the haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even to the dull and the ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexatious to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain or bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself, especially do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love, for in the face of aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune. Do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive him to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace in your soul. With all its sham drudgery and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful. Strive to be happy. I think it says a lot, and it has a lot of wisdom. It just doesn't point directly that all of this provision of life comes from God. The 10th commandment says, do not covet your neighbor's wife, house, or Maserati. We are not to covet. Or as Kaylin says, covet. We should not covet. And I just love the way she says that. Because if we do and we complain inwardly and outwardly, we lose the blessing of the moment. Woe is me, listen to my sad story. I'm going to tell you the tale of two sisters, Colette and Ernestine Nadeau. And Colette just went forward and met the challenge of the day. And the day that my father met her, she was on a ladder with a hammer. And he probably said, that's the girl for me. Ernestine had complaints every day of her life. And the older she got, the more she complained. And whenever we had family occasions, we knew that we would be hearing the litany of woe is me. And I think they both lived their lives in the same vein. Nothing changed. Ernestine, right to her grave. It's sad to say, but the happiest day of her life was when she was diagnosed with hepatitis. All the blessings, all the joy that could have been hers, that just passed her by. Something about her self-esteem, something about needing that attention. Whereas my mother persevered through, she had twins, and then my dad went off to war for 3.5 years. And she had to live with the in-laws. Now that's the sentence. And then, of course, through the Depression and just, you know, providing for a very large family. There were 10 of us. So that tale tells us our attitude just matters about everything, doesn't it? And that we are to persevere. Whether it's honey or vinegar, there's a big difference there. I have another short reading for you. This is a traditional prayer book. O Lord, whose way is perfect, help us, we pray, always to trust in your goodness, that walking with you in faith and following you in all simplicity, we may possess quiet and contented minds, and cast all our care on you, because you care for us for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. We may possess quiet and contented minds. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray restores the soul. I like that. Speaking of Kaylin, she had her sayings. If I wrote them all down, I'd have another book we could add right after Ecclesiastes. Of course, I know we're not supposed to do that. But she does say, and this was her recent one and her last visit, when you love nature, you love God. I like that. When you love nature, you love God. God's creation is a gift to us. And when we give him the glory, that's a good thing. Now, about those 10 lepers, how can it be to have been cured of such an illness, such a disease, and only one of them comes back and throws himself at the feet of Jesus and says, "Thank you, Lord, Lord Jesus, Master." How is that possible, we think? 1 out of 10. Well, it's human nature. In another way, I've observed that, because over the many decades, Rhonda has done crafting, and she gives most of her crafts away, and to sometimes to even people she doesn't know. It just works out that way. And for her, there's joy in making the craft and in giving the craft. It's a small blessing that she passes on. But I also have observed just myself that not everybody says thank you. In fact, most don't. And if I were to put it in mathematical terms, I would say out of 10, that 1 would write a note of thank you, and 2 would say thank you, and the rest would not. And it's hard for us to imagine, or for me anyway, to imagine that. But she doesn't hold that against anybody. She just carries on in the right spirit, and it's the gifting and the blessing that counts. There was a time when we talked about etiquette, and maybe growing up you might remember reading Ann Landers, Dear Abby. I think today there's Miss Manners. And so etiquette is, you know, all those manners that I think are important. And they exude the joy, or it's giving a blessing. You know, the other day I was with a buddy having a coffee at Starbucks, and I watched this lady open the door. She had 2 large cups in her hand. She had her phone and her keys, and she's struggling. She's opening the door and held it open for a young man. The man had nothing in his hands. And he just took that door and opened it, walked right in. Didn't look at her, didn't say thank you. This lady with all of these cups and phones and keys, and I thought, oh my, what about a thank you? What about helping her with her stuff to her car? I don't know. It shocked me. I did sneak 1 thank you card tonight that was directed Rhonda's way. I won't say who it's from, although you know her. And she said, I just want to let you know that I am so thankful for all the ways the love of God spills over through you. I am so grateful for your friendship. Isn't that a sweet way to put it? All the ways the love of God spills over through you. What a blessing, both from the person who wrote this, and it just shows the kind of person that Rhonda is. And I sometimes have imagined, or I visualize things, and we see the moon. And the moon waxes and wanes. It increases in light and strength, or it diminishes. And I oftentimes think visually that the Holy Spirit, which indwells us, after Pentecost, as believers in Christ, God the Holy Spirit lives in us. We have the presence of God. But I think of the Holy Spirit in us as waxing or waning according to our obedience and receiving of the blessings and that which Christ gives us. I mean, I know one is the moon, it's inanimate, it's nothing, as compared to the person of God, the Holy Spirit, living in us. But you can almost, personally, I'll say, I can almost see or feel the Holy Spirit waxing when I'm open to God's blessings, or I'm serving the Lord in the right way, or waning when I've given in to the ways of the world and sin and whatever else that pulls me away. I think that that strikes me as visual, and I think you can see that as well. Ephesians 4:30 says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Live life in the joy and contentment that we're talking about tonight." The other day I was in Cochrane, and I was at FCSS, and I saw a little sign on the wall that said, "Happiness is not a destination, it is a way of life." So Colette or Ernestine displayed to me, my mother Colette, demonstrated to me a way to live, and that is happiness in the day, in the day, in the day, and it is a way of life. So what are you grateful for? I'm going to share a few thoughts of mine, and then I want to hear a few of yours. What have I missed? What are you grateful for? I'm grateful for peace in the home. Peace in the home is so precious. I'm grateful for my family of origin, the family I came from, my having a mom and a dad, and all my siblings, brothers and sisters. 6 girls, 4 boys. I'm grateful for my family of creation, marrying Rhonda and our 3 children. I'm grateful for a life of faith. I'm grateful for God's creation. And being Canada Day, I'm grateful for our free and prosperous country that we live in. I'm grateful for all that on our 157th birthday as Canada. Now, what are you grateful for? Please share. Relative health. Health is a big one. Good health. What a blessing. Yes, amen. Good friends. Yes, absolutely. Yes, the provisions that we have as Canadians. Yes, all that. I did write down, and I've been picking on Rhonda a little bit tonight, I'm sorry. But I was going to say one of the best examples of contentment I've seen is Rhonda. And she finds that through her relationship with God, her friends, her reading, her crafts, her cooking. And her horse. How could I forget that? Sorry, Rhonda, I didn't even write it down. Her horse, of course. I come just a little bit behind that. Yes, anything else that you are grateful for, to your heart of gratitude to the Lord tonight? Esther, yeah. Freedom to worship. Amen. And that may that continue. And I heard someone else. Oh, faithful prayer partners. That's important. Being able to read, which is a real joy for us in our lives. And what else, Rhonda? Having the Bible and books. We know what it's like in some countries where one Bible is shared amongst many, or pieces of the Bible. Anyone else? The quiet time of the day and the devotions. Yes. Yes. These are all blessings. These are what we are grateful for. Yes, Dorothy. Oh, Jackson, Dominic, who? Yes. Oh, how could we forget it? Food. Of course. Absolutely. Canada is an abundant place. Look at the fields, how they grow and provide us with food. Yeah, I love food. We're foodies at home. We talk about food every day, and we look up recipes or think about it. So thank you for sharing that.
That's good.
Well, regarding gratitude, I'm going to tell you a story. going to ask, Rhonda, do you know where my glasses are? I'm so bad. So about a dozen years ago, I had this harebrained idea, and that was that I would take Kaylin on a music boat cruise. We had never been on a cruise before. But I heard about a Christian called Premier Cruises. So this boat was leaving Miami, and it was for a three-night music boat cruise, Christian bands and speakers and everything from around the world. So we went. And the one concert we went to, and you're going to hear a little later at closing, and no, she's not a country singer, so be prepared. Her name is Mandiza, just a lovely, vibrant American woman with a stellar voice. And she performed that night. And then when we left the concert hall, Kaylin said, I would like to meet her. I said, oh, okay, how do you do that? And so we were walking the Premier Cruises people, staff had a table, so I walked over and I said, well, we came out of the arena and there were all these people lined up. And I thought, what are they doing? Maybe they're waiting for the next concert. And so I went to the people and I said, my daughter would like to meet her. Where do we go? And they pointed to the line. They said, you see that line? Go to the back of it. And there were like over 100 people. And it was a time when Kaylin's health was quite fragile. So I knew that was an impossible task to wait in line. So I actually just was very bold and said, I'm sorry, but she can't do that. She will not get to meet her. And so they said, okay, hold on. So then about 5 minutes later, they came. And we had met two lovely ladies from Texas, Trish and Deb. And one of the staff members said, come on, follow me. And Kaylin said, where are we going? And she said, you're going to meet Mandiza. And I said, I'm not. So I said, Deb, Trish, you go with Kaylin. Go. They took her to the front of the line, right to the door of her studio. And so this is how the story went, and I wasn't there. So they went in, and they met Mandiza, a very cheerful, sweet lady. And Mandiza said to Kaylin, what do I sign? And Kaylin said, I don't know. She never thought of bringing anything for her to sign. And so Kaylin was caught off guard, and Trish and Deb didn't know what to do. So Mandiza said, hold on. She went to her trunk, found one of her shirts that said Mandiza. She signed it, and she gave it to Kaylin. Well, Kaylin and the girls came out of that room crying. And I said, well, what happened? What in blazes went on in there? So they told me, and they were just so overwhelmed with gratefulness, a simple act, a sweet lady who did a very kind thing, and it made Kaylin's trip. And we listened to her this day. And so, sad to say, just over a month ago, Mandiza passed away. She was only about 42, died of natural causes, a sweet lady, and she went through a lot. She lived with a life of depression. And a number of years ago, her best friend, Mandiza never married. She wanted to, but she never married. And her best friend died of cancer about 5 years ago. And she went into a severe depression. And she went through the dark phase. And when she came out, she wrote her music. And her album was called Overcomer. And it was powerful, powerful. Doesn't mean her depression went away or her sadness for the loss of her friend. But she saw God in the moment, in the presence. Same as it reminds me of another very popular Christian singer, Toby Mac, who's been around for decades from the days of DC Talk. Our kids grew up with DC Talk and Toby Mac. We saw them at a Creation Festival in the States, Pennsylvania. And unfortunately, Toby Mac's son, 2 years ago, passed away from a drug overdose. And Toby Mac went through that depression, and he wrote his music about it too. And in fact, recently, his number one hit was on the radio about how he is a changed man and how he went through it. But he said, the Lord was there with me. It's not easy, but our hearts may be wrenched through that pain or disease or the loss of a loved one. When I'm talking about contentment, I'm not talking about just having the life of Riley. I'm talking about knowing God's presence in the moment, in the fire. The lyrics to Mandisa's song is called, well, it's called Back to You. I could never say enough to thank you for everything you've done for me. And I might think I could do enough to show you, but I know that's just a crazy dream. This shouldn't be complicated. This isn't that hard to see. It's not about what I do for you. It's about what you've done for me. You gave your love, you gave your life, you gave everything, and I want to give it all back to you. You took a heart so black and blue, and piece by piece you made it new. The only thing left to do is give it all back to you. I just want to be a life that you use. I want all of me to be all of you, to be all for you. And when I get it wrong, you stick with me. Ain't that the truth? It's just what you do. This shouldn't be complicated. This isn't that hard to see. It's not about what I do for you. It's what you've done for me. You gave your love, you gave your life, you gave your everything. I won't forget what you did, how you died so I could live. I don't deserve this kind of love. I'll testify how you gave your life for mine. All I want to do is give it all back to you. So we're going to listen to Mandisa now. Thank you, Cameron.